And the message tonight is spend time with Jesus. That's the message. That's what you need. But you've got to spend time with God. You could be in the best church in town. You can have the best husband or wife in town. You can have the best job in town. You can have the best house in town. I don't care. You can have it all. What would it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lose his own soul? You got to get with Jesus. You got to spend time with Jesus. And that's what we see here in this passage, Mark chapter 10, verse 38. If you do everything else and you don't do this, you messed it up. I would contend to you that this is the most important part of our day. Spending time with Jesus. It's not difficult. Read the Bible and pray. Read the Bible and pray. This is essential. This is irreducible minimum. There is nothing more important. Read the Bible and pray. You must spend time with God. Nothing can replace it. Nothing is more important. And nothing can substitute for our time with God. If you have to give up a doctor, if you have to give up money, if you have to give up health, if you have to give up a job, if you have to give up money, if you have to give up whatever, get time with God. A couple of simple points. Verse 39. There was Martha, and it says, she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. I'd like to derive from that verse three simple principles about the cost of spending time with God. There is a price to pay. There is a price to pay. Part of the cost or the price is patience. It's so simple. But she sat. And there are times that we just need to slow down and make time for God in our busy lives. And so I was going to say, I don't know about Troy or Beth or Krista, but I know for you, my brother, you're in for a wild ride. It's just going to be so busy. And knowing how to do X but not Y, and knowing who to go to and how, it's just, you must say no to some things in order to say yes to Jesus. You must. Or you will become like so many of your friends and mine who crash and burn. Satan is after you. He's after all of us. But he knows that if he can get the shepherd, the sheep will be scattered. And he's after you. And he will never stop. The only way you can combat him is to stay close to Jesus. None of us can add to our lives without subtracting something. Isaiah said it like this, thus saith the Lord God, in quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. But he went on and said, and ye would not. Because my dear friends, all of us, I didn't tell you anything you don't know. We all know this. We all know we need to read the Bible and pray, but that doesn't help us at all. We must do it. We must spend time alone with God. You must pray. You must read the Bible. No one can do it for you. You must do it or else you didn't do it. There is a price to pay. I'm calling it patience, just the sense of sitting still, quietly, passively, not this while the phone or this while the computer or this while the music or this while the anything, undivided attention to Jesus. It is essential. There is a price to pay in perception. She had a sister which and called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet. Meditation is not an emptying the mind. Meditation is focusing the mind. And if I could say devotional helps are fine if they move us to God's Word, but sometimes devotional helps can kind of tickle us and be a little easier and kind of give us a little zing. But that is no substitute for God's Word. You must have God's Word. God wants to talk to you, not through someone else to you. When we were in Kenya, we learned that they, of course, don't have the kind of baby food that we tend to take for granted here. You know, you go to the store and you buy all these different kinds of food that you wouldn't want to eat because it's got beets in it, it's all mashed up, or it's got beans in it, it's all mashed up. And most of us, if God lets us live longer, we'll go back to eating that kind of stuff. That's what I feed my dad when I get to see him during lunch, that kind of thing. It's just what happens, you know, we kind of revert. But you know what they did in Kenya? You probably know this. What they would do in Kenya is because they didn't have that and they didn't have food processors at the time and that sort of thing. So mom would take the food and chew it and then take it out of her mouth and feed it to her child. Why do I tell us such a strange story? Because you don't have to depend upon someone else's blessings. You can go right to the Word of God. Don't just depend upon devotionals or commentaries or any other works of men. Use them to the fullest. But take this blessed old book and don't get away from this book. Read the Bible and pray. And then there's a cost in practice. She sat at Jesus' feet and heard His Word. We have to practice what He says. God doesn't give us His Word just so that we know it. God teaches us so that we will do it, not merely know it, right? We don't read to know. We read to know a person. We read to become more acquainted with someone that our soul loves. And when we love Him and we adore Him and we worship Him and we spend time with Him, we want and we will become more like Him. So trade some time every day in a closer walk with God. There is a contrast with spending time with God in verse 40. Here's a sister, Martha. Notice she was cumbered about much serving. She said, she came to Him and said, "Lord, dost Thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me." The contrast with spending time with God is in this word of cumbered. The contrast with being cumbered or with drudgery. Going through the motions. It is very, very possible that we can have activity without heart. We sing a song, "There is joy in serving Jesus," but the fact of the matter is, it is very possible to have no joy in serving Jesus because we serve but we've lost sight of Christ. And we do it because we have to, and we're motivated by necessity. We should always be motivated by love for Christ, but we are not motivated by love for Christ if we won't love Him and spend time with Him and enjoy Him. There's a contrast here with deception. We sang the song tonight. Does Jesus care? And we resoundingly in the chorus say, "Oh yes, He cares. I know He cares." But is it not true that we can often question whether He cares, whether He knows, whether He is there, whether He is helping? There's a deception here. Dost thou not care? That is it not, at some level, quite blasphemous to say? But the reality is we can have wrong thinking and we can be tempted to believe a lie, and this book is essential to be cleaning out our hearts from those things and to be restored to a true knowledge of our God. And then there's a contrast with discouragement. She has left me to serve alone. I think this might be one of Satan's favorite lies. It's so easy for us, is it not, to indulge in self-pity and loneliness and isolation. So what do we do when we are overcome with drudgery? What do we do when we're discouraged? What do we do when we find ourselves tempted to believe lies? God doesn't care. Read the Bible. Read the Bible. Read this book, man. Read this book. You say, "How much?" Read it until you read until you want to keep reading it. Read it until you don't want to put it down. Just keep reading it and reading it. You say, I don't have time. You can't afford not to have time. Read it. I'm trying to be very careful. I'm tempted to say a lot of pastoral stuff to a pastor. But anyway, I'll just move on. Then there's a call. I love this call, don't you? The call is personal. Don't you love Jesus' words in verse 41? Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. The call is personal. Martha, Martha, let me tell you, Jonathan and Krista and Troy and Beth, Jesus knows your name too. He's calling. You are important to God. Whereas you and we have to spend time with God, God wants to spend time with you. Precious Jesus. Should be your priority. He told Martha many things versus one thing. No one can do all they'd like to do. Don't wait for more time. Get rid of something and make time. Say no to good things and better things and say yes to Jesus. And then this call us to something quite permanent. Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. You may lose your money, you may lose your mind, you may lose your health, you may lose your marriage, you may lose your children, you may lose all kinds of things, but you will not lose the time you spend with God. It'll never be taken away. The question is, are you answering God's call to you? There's no substitute for time with God. David said, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Isaiah put it like this, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Psalm 27 says, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, in the Lord. Jesus said it like this, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Amen. Spend time with God.